The biggest danger came to us when we travel, to India and we shut down 3 tech call center and local mafia put bounty on our heads, right? Because we came and we interrupt the business that been making billions for decades.
Our Bay Area innovators today are Trilogy Media's Ashton Bingham and Art Kulik, the duo behind YouTube's most watched scam-busting sting operations. They turn anonymous tips into real cases, coordinate with law enforcement, and publish extended investigations that help viewers recognize scams. We'll dig into their origin, methods, impact, and how they're scaling their mission. This is Bay Area Innovators, and I'm your host, Steve Espas. Ashton and Art, welcome to our program.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, great to have you here. Well, first, congratulations. I know you just debuted on Fox Nation yesterday, so we're, you know, a day away from your debut on Fox Nation with one of your programs, Scammed Getting Even. And you're running this program on YouTube about scammers and in Trilogy Media for, was it 9 years now, right? We would love to hear how you got started. That's probably on most people's mind, you know. How did you get started with doing this program? What triggered it?
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having us. We absolutely honored that we have right now show on national television educating Americans, educating people of the world, how not to get scammed and, you know, tell people about red flags and all this stuff. Me and Ashton, we came to Los Angeles, California, 15 years ago as filmmakers, content creators. And we opened production company Trilogy Media in 2016. And literally couple months later, viral video. My brother did viral video and then the life got changed.
Here we go, refreshing.
Looking for a way to create content, and you know, we both had dreams moving to this town. We come from very different parts of the world, but we met through a mutual friend, and it took us about 5 or 6 years to find what that vehicle was going to be. But it turns out that vehicle was scam baiting, and it happened kind of on accident when I was messing with an IRS scammer on the phone. It's a good thing I recorded it.
You have 50 members, you son of a you motherfucker.
How dare you scam people? Go get a real job. Wow, that's awful strong words for someone working for the IRS. Target gift cards? Are you kidding me? You can't think of something.
And it went crazy, crazy viral. And that kind of paired our already pre-existing efforts of wanting to entertain people with now a newly discovered really important arena of scam baiting and awareness with scams. And it just ended up being perfect. And we were blessed with an amazing squad, we call them, of viewers that supported our mission. And 9 years later, here we are with a TV show.
So your original intent was not necessarily busting scammers. It just happened that way?
Correct.
That's correct.
We both moved to LA around 2010-ish. Mm-hmm. But yeah, scam baiting was never really on the table until about 2016. And we didn't even start getting into in-person confrontations until 2020. You know, things have to grow and adapt, and we have to find out our place in this space. But yeah, it took some time, but it ended up being the perfect vehicle for us.
Now, you know, there's so much on the internet and most of it is entertaining. I would say not everything is useful, but I want to ask you, how do you feel about, you know, doing a show that's, first of all, it's entertaining, has 1.7 million viewers, but at the same time, it's really useful to the people. You know, how does it make you feel every day when you feel that? Yeah, I just wonder how fulfilled you feel.
It's definitely, again, when we by accident discover this pandemic, cybersecurity, pandemic that happening online, the more we start exposing the methods of scammers, that scammers a lot of the different types of scams based on different regions, different countries, and we see like how nobody's doing about it, nobody's talking about it. And we're like, okay, so now maybe that's going to be our role. That's going to be our mission to taking care of our neighborhoods, taking care of our community, and bring awareness and do whatever it takes to educate people.
Can you tell me to one moment where things went wrong and you almost felt like giving up? And how did you come out of that?
That's a great question. You know, I think, you know, the anecdote that you might expect would be, you know, we went on a a confrontation and it went horribly wrong and that made us want to quit. But honestly, the time we spend out actually face to face with a scammer is such a tiny percentage of the work that we do full time. The inclination maybe to give up, quote unquote, is in the hustle of trying to build something that's going to change the world and build this brand. The day to day, hour by hour of work and planning and video editing and getting no's in our face so many years, so many times, that's really where it gets difficult. The fun confrontations are, those are fun. Those are a bonus. And those only happen when we work up to that point in any particular story. But, you know, I would say definitely in those early years of Trilogy and even before Trilogy, when we just wanted to be ourselves and entertain people, it was hard. And we were told no 1,000 times until we would get one maybe. And then some, oftentimes it's still a no. So
I think the beauty is that we have each other as business partners, have each other as friends. And if somebody has a bad day, you know, the other one will pick you up and continue pushing and say like, hey, we're not going to give up. We have dreams, we have goals, and now we have missions. Now we have people rely on us. It's not anymore about Trilogy Media. It's not about us. There is a mission. There are so many people that are looking for hope. We're getting public submissions on a daily basis. We cannot even reach the bottom of our email of how many people are getting scammed. And whatever it takes, you know, bring in law enforcement and do whatever it takes to arrest and find those bad guys and make them accountable.
How do they turn a tip into a takedown without blowing the cover? Who does what when the cameras roll, and when do they walk away? Next, their playbook, step by step. Stay tuned. Now, speaking of that, please walk us through the process you go through, because, you know, we see our show and we see, you know, what happens, but I really want to get the feel of, you know, how do you, you know, you get a lead, right? And then you start planning. And then just walk us through the process. How do you get the law enforcement engaged? You know, all of that. Just take maybe an example of a case. We would love to hear that.
It's really hard to say in as a general sense, because every scam is so different. And the biggest issue, at least when it comes to law enforcement, is that these scams are designed to be very complicated. You know, they're not simple, you know, burglaries or thefts like you'd think of someone just breaking into your house and stealing something and there's like one person or one group of people. There are levels and layers of manipulation, of mules, of organized crime, call centers, sometimes technology, AI. So each thing is different. The law enforcement element of it is something we've definitely had to work up to. You know, everything that we do, I mean, we report all the stuff that we find. We're not law enforcement, so a lot of times when we find what we find and we hold somebody accountable, it tends to stop there. That is changing. I think law enforcement is actually, they've collabed with us recently. They reach out to us for help and resources because we have the time to hyper-focus on one thing, unlike them. But it really all starts with scam baiting, us putting ourselves out there to appear as a vulnerable victim.
Yeah, didn't he just talk to you here?
Yeah, yep.
All right, what's the update? What are we doing? Is it we good to go?
In the most common types of things we go after are like tech support scams, romance scams, and manipulation in that sense. And, you know, we pretend to be vulnerable. Sometimes we pretend to be elderly.
All right, what else do I need to do now?
What's going on here?
Oh, yeah.
We just got busted, dude.
I got what?
What do you mean you don't know?
I just get told to pick up.
By who? We literally just let the scammers scam us without taking the money, of course, but we let them lead us down their path step by step of what they want us to do, what they want us to say. And it allows us to not only document the entire thing and identify the red flags along the way, but also with some social engineering and experience, we can get them to make little mistakes. And we get them to reveal things about themselves, sometimes reveal exactly who they are, or reveal an address, or reveal something that we can hook onto and actually go boots on the ground and investigate. And if law enforcement wants to be involved, our door is always open. But at the end of the day, it's about holding them accountable, raising awareness, and teaching people how they work so that less people fall for it.
Does their work actually stop losses? Which case changed their life? And what do skeptics say? Next, results and real-world impact. Don't go anywhere. What would you say is the percentage of cases where you actually just expose the case versus you have law enforcement and they get arrested and they get tried or whatever?
You have to remember that everything when it comes to law enforcement, Interpol, It takes time, right? Well, for example, we just did the show, Scam Getting Even, and we have several arrests. We wrote a history that never been written before. The show never been made before, right? We got not only lucky, but it took us so many years that law enforcement start trusting you. Learning that scam baiting is enough to prosecute and get all the signatures, like all the bureaucracy, you know, like paperwork. Yeah. We not law enforcement. We can knock on doors and ask questions as an independent journalist. But we got to the point that finally all the agencies got together, from FBI to Homeland Security to local sheriff department, and we all worked together to save elderly people not to get scammed.
I'll also add too, like you said, the timelines between our work, you know, where we'll focus on a story for sometimes a few weeks, could be a few months, is very different than how law enforcement works. And a perfect example of that is that federal indictment that you had alluded to before we started rolling, the $65 million crime ring. Multiple scammers arrested. A lot of them had to do with videos that we had made back in 2020. Wow. So we confronted these guys in 2020. Law enforcement reaches us. Our video's already up on YouTube, right? And then law enforcement reaches out to us maybe in 21. We went and testified in court, I think in 22. Mm-hmm. And now it's 25 and they're finally arrested. We already forgot about those videos 4 years ago. So Right. That's, you know, percentage-wise, it's hard to line up because the timelines don't make any sense. Some crimes are easier than others. You know, we don't just do scammers. We go after, you know, child predators and various things where it's a little bit more direct and easy to report and get instant action. But when it comes to these overseas scams, the timelines for action are years. And our timeline for videos can't be years, or we can't afford, but it's a business. We can't afford to operate. So, yes. You know, we take what we can get.
Let me ask you this. Are you at any time worried or scared that some of these, you know, you're dealing with international criminals, with network, with, you know, with cartels or whatever, right? Are you worried that they may come after you if you're bothering their business too much?
We definitely, there is always that, you know, brotherhood bonding. We're looking like we have each other back. That's number one. Number two, we don't go after cartel, right? There is no drugs involved. The things that we're doing, we go either, if somebody want to hurt kids or elderly people, that's the one that we go after. And usually they covered, right? They prey on somebody who is weaker or younger. So the biggest danger came to us when we travel to India and we shut down 3 tech call center and local mafia put bounty on our heads, right? Because we came and we interrupt the business that been making billions for decades. We just got back from Nigeria. So international busts sometimes can be dangerous. So that's why we will bring extra security. We will try to communicate with local law enforcement and just making sure that we do everything right, especially when you not in your country. Right. But here domestically in America, we had a couple close moments in Chicago and Florida.
The guy keeps filming, I'm gonna fucking shoot him. Okay. As you know, in Florida, we carry guns.
No, I understand.
So you tell him right now, stop shooting, I'm gonna shoot him and both of you.
But usually, knock on wood, usually it's so far so good.
And what is I don't want to say the percentage, but how often does it happen that people who got scammed are able to get their stuff back, either money or possessions, you know, through your work? Does it happen? Is it common? Or
it's almost impossible. I don't like to say it's completely impossible, but it's the same answer with law enforcement. The timelines don't align. We've seen cases where victims can get their money back. Usually when that happens, it's because, you know, the prosecution has had years to take place. They've already seized assets, you know, depending on the scale of the scam. If they had bought cars or houses or whatever, they can seize those assets. Sometimes they can then retroactively go back and disperse that among the victims. But once it's at that point, it is 1,000% out of our hands. Like, our work is long gone and long done, and we've likely already forgotten about it by then. There are also this certain cases where we, as our company, have been able to utilize our audience to help support certain people in need. It's a difficult landscape to navigate, but a couple times we've been able to make some victims whole again, just by kind of as a thank you for them to be so brave to tell the story in the first place. So that's kind of a different angle that happens sometimes when we feel like it's warranted. But yeah, it's almost impossible, and that's why awareness is so important, because the best way to fight a scam is to prevent it from happening in the first place.
sometimes it doesn't take a badge to do the work. Anyone can be a sleuth if you think about it. And some of the most creative are right here.
When it's time to go, rushing, I'm giving the sign.
Then we're going to just approach with cameras. And see.
In late August 2025, federal prosecutors announced 25 arrests tied to a $65 million fraud ring targeting U.S. seniors. Reports, including from our sister media NTD, note agents executed over a dozen search warrants, recovered $4.2 million in luxury assets, and credited YouTube scam baiters, including Trilogy Media, with key evidence.
The Department of Justice says this video helped them find him and 27 others, all part of what they say is a $65 million multinational fraud ring targeting seniors.
The network was described as run by a Chinese organized crime syndicate working with India-based call centers. I will ask him about what they know and what evidence they have from this case. So we briefly alluded about the case, I think it was just last month, right? The 25 arrests, $65 million ring. There was, apparently it was a Chinese network that was working with the Indian network and they were working together. Right. Tell us a bit more about that. You just mentioned that it took years for this to trickle down. But how did you get involved with that and what were some of the details there?
It's one of those things, again, when we get this relationship built with law enforcement and they can tell us a little bit what's happening inside and what they said that especially 2020, 2022, when COVID happened, a lot of mafia, they start losing money, right? Whatever the legal stuff they're doing. So scam, they took something that they was not doing it before. So the moral of the story is that tech support, right, like getting out of India, and Indian mafia made a deal with Chinese mafia, and here in California, in Bay Area, there is a big big Chinese community. So mafia made a deal that, okay, so we have victims here in the United States, they're getting scammed, money has to get moved, right, to internationally. Somebody has to send a cash mule to pick up this stolen money. And that's why a lot of time when we go on a bus, you will see Chinese cash mule, and that we will work for Chinese mafia. So it's that's how we learn.
Scams come in waves, and right. The way that they operate come in cycles. That was at a time when we were first investigating that particular scam, which is kind of called the refund scam, but it's basically a tech support scam based out of India. But when we started going after it and confronting the cash mules, we confronted one. It was a person of Chinese descent staying at an Airbnb in California.
Why are you doing this? Stop using this guy. Stop using students who need money. Why he's speaking your language? His name is not, right?
We did another one. It was a person of Chinese descent staying at an Airbnb in California. We did that like three or four more times, and it was the exact same situation where a Chinese person was staying in an Airbnb expecting a box of cash from a victim shipped to California. It was kind of interesting. It's a pattern, but we can't really do much else with it until we got reached out to from law enforcement. That time it was Homeland Security. And they said, hey, those videos you just put up, let's talk. And if you're willing, we'd love to see the unblurred footage, the raw footage. And of course, we always supply that when asked by law enforcement. And it turns out it overlapped with something they were already looking into. And then our videos of confronting those very guys went into this massive indictment that, yeah, it took 5 years, which sucks, but at least it happened. And turns out, as we learned, that Indian call centers were recruiting Chinese mafia, in this case a lot in California, to be the pickup people here in the States to facilitate the money transfer. So, you know, again, scams will change their methods and go up and down and go in circles. But, you know, when you can uncover patterns, a lot of times it can lead you to the main bad guy.
That's amazing. That's so disturbing in so many ways when you see especially elderly people being taken advantage of in this way. Now, when you work with law enforcement, you know, I know many times the issue, and we've dealt with this, there's the issue of jurisdiction. Say, well, this is local police, it's whatever. Do you have to deal with Interpol or how do you get jurisdiction if you go to India or other countries, right?
It's a nightmare, and that's why getting law enforcement involved with this fraud is extremely difficult. We report things until we're blue in the face, but at the end of the day, we can't control who's going to take it or who's going to do what. And this, and the question remains the same every single time. You want to report a scam. The first question is who's the victim, right? Now, if we're scam baiting, technically we're the victim, even though there was no real money that transferred hands. You know, in the case of taking a real victim and trying to look into what's already happened, international law enforcement will say, well, your victim's in America. I can't really do anything. American law enforcement will say, well, the criminal's in India, so I can't really do anything. So just like you said, jurisdiction, bureaucracy, lack of motivation, lack of knowledge, because a lot of people think these scams are really cut and dry and only stupid people fall for them, but it's just not the case. So I think the tides are changing. We just did our first collaboration with feds and local police for this TV show. Sorry, we're in New York City, loud honking, great timing. We just did our first collaboration in Arkansas with federal agents and local police, and they're actually taking action, arresting scammers on the spot, exclusively from scam baits, which is a massive accomplishment, and you'll see that in this show. So it's moving in the right direction, but it has not been easy.
And also, to be honest with you, it's one of those things, like when you work with somebody and you see results, you stick with the same people, with the same law enforcement. And then when we start putting our videos on the internet, we start getting a lot of emails from different states, from different cities, and sheriffs, law enforcement start inviting us to their jurisdiction. Like, guys, you cannot arrest cash mules in California. Come to Texas. We're gonna help you in Houston. Come to this place. Come to this place. And then you start working with people who actually can do things, can do arrests, can make a difference, and you stick with the same people over and over again.
Now, you did mention that you're not dealing with cartels in that sense. You're not so worried about that. But you're still, sometimes you're facing the scammers directly, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you about that. I mean, Art, you're kind of a pretty strong guy, you know. I think maybe that helps. But are you worried when you deal with them? I mean, when you're close to them or you have to confront them, you know, how do you deal with it? I mean, you're not a police officer, right?
Right. I don't know. I'm just, again, I used to be an athlete. I've always been in shape and continue staying in shape. So for me, it's like one of those things that we have to protect each other. It doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are. You have to protect people that you love. And that's our team. It's our family. So, yeah, we just have each other back, and we always aware of what's happening, our surroundings, what's going on. Like, we never, like, go and do bus by yourself. It's always team. And we always, now we have law enforcement that we trust, that they trust us. We can ask questions like, can we go to this address? Should we do it or not? Is it safe? So now it's like a lot of precautions, but yeah.
Next, I want to talk about AI. You know, we have actually another show where we talk a lot about tech and AI. And, you know, we look not just at the benefits of AI, but many times the problems that come with it, the dangers, the pitfalls, right? So I want to ask you, what do you see? You know, there's elderly people, like you said, that are being scammed. How much of a role does AI play into that, into being able to scam them or to trick them more? Because a lot of people may not be aware of the technology that's happening right now, including someone calls you, think it's your friend, but it's a bot.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more of a problem for sure. I mean, with any new innovation, there's going to be people that use it for good and people that use it for bad. AI is not going anywhere anytime soon, seemingly, and it's being used more and more every day for scammers, and it's making it easier for the average person with maybe potentially limited resources to create things, and it can be used for nefarious reasons. But yeah, it's going to get harder and harder to spot, especially when you're dealing with older people that aren't fully aware of the capabilities of it. You know, creating deep fakes, live video chat abilities, voice cloning, AI, even just basic email exchanges where you used to be able to rely on potentially broken English to spot something might not be legit. Whereas now, they have bots that'll write that stuff for them. So yeah, it's definitely changing the methods. It's changing the severity and the easiness. The barrier of entry for a scammer is becoming lighter and lighter. So it's not going anywhere anytime soon. And that's why even more than ever, you need to be emphasized to people that just because someone claims they're calling or emailing from this one place doesn't mean that's true. Anyone that reaches out to you unsolicited asking you or telling you information, you can't just take it at face value. Even if your phone says that the phone number is from that place, call spoofing is very easy. Yes. So you have to verify. You have to have passwords with your trusted, with your loved ones. You have to do your own independent research and never be pressured into anything, no matter what it is. If it's a call from your bank, quote unquote, hang up the phone and call the number on the back of your credit card and ask them if there's a problem. You know, you just have to be able to think, not be pressured, not rush into anything, make any rash decisions, and you know, stay aware of what the new trends are.
And I know one of your rules that's very basic is that if it sounds too good to be true, then it probably isn't true. So that's very,
very, very true. Yes.
Very true. Yes. Now, I wonder what motivates you to do this every day, you know, and again, it's such an important work you do, but what's the main factors that motivates you?
Passion. We have passion for things that we do. We love passion for justice. That's why it's amazing that we're able to do it right now on a bigger network and get a bigger reach. There are demographic that watch only YouTube. There's demographic that reads books, newspapers, and cable TV. So it just, again, passion for justice and just to try to do whatever it takes to be human. I mean, like, everybody want to change the world, but you have to start with yourself every single day.
Can you please give us a sense of how do you view these scammers? What kind of people are they? Is there any hope for them to become better?
Yeah, it's a deep question about humanity. And, you know, I believe people deserve second chances if they want them, but they don't always want them. You know, our channel might not be the biggest one in the world, but I think we've broken a lot of ground and been a pioneer in a certain way with certain things. And one of those things being really exploring the humanity behind a scammer's actions and one that really doesn't want to do what they're doing, and they're doing it for other reasons. And, you know, you can form whatever opinion you want on it. We don't necessarily take a stance on it, but what we don't do is deny a scammer to tell their story and at least, like, express why they do what they do. You don't have to believe them, but, you know, one of the earliest stories that we ever did on our channel was this very thing, which was a scammer on the phone that expressed what felt like honest, true remorse and expressed, you know, certain life factors and cultural differences that led them there, that keep them there not by choice. And so
I'm getting blackmailed.
It's never, ever, ever black and white. But it is fascinating, and that's why we like to go down those roads. Now, don't get me wrong. We talk to hundreds, thousands of scammers. The vast majority of them are pretty sick, horrible, vile people. But every now and then, you'll come across one that has a story that is interesting, and we like to tell those when the opportunity presents itself. It's not often. I think if you're preying on the old, or you're preying on the vulnerable, or people weaker than you, I think you're a pretty crappy human being. So, but we never really say no to an opportunity to tell a story, even if it might not end in the way, in the perfect picture, Disney way that you might want it to, you know.
One question I have for you is, you know, we look at these predators or these criminals or scammers, whatever they are, right? And for most people, they're afraid of them. They feel like, you know, if I even come close to someone like that, I'll be scared, you know, and they may kill me. They may do something bad to me. From what I noticed from your videos, most of the time the scammers are running away once they're exposed. So they are the ones that are afraid. So tell us more about it, because I think the dynamic is important for people to be able to have enough confidence that they are on the right side of the equation of the history, and not the scammers are controlling the thing.
Well, like Art said earlier, I mean, we're not going after drug cartels. We're not trying to take down, you know, dictators. We're not trying to, whatever, you know, drug lords. We're not have no business doing any of that. We're going after people that are preying on people that are weaker than them. And if you're preying on someone weaker than you, then you yourself are probably weak. And it's not always black and white like that, but, you know, also we come with a credibility. We come with a camera crew. We often come with a level of security. And we have each other's back. We plan these things as much as we possibly can before we do them. So yeah, there is a level of risk, but, you know, it's not like we're being, you know, negligent or frivolous with it. You know, we just love to ask questions. That's all we're there. We're not there to pose a physical threat. We're not there to try to scare them. We're just there to try to hold them accountable. And if there's questions to be answered and they want to talk, then, you know, we'll have our ear open. But if they're going to try to defend it, we're going to tell them something else, you know. So I don't know, we take each one by one, and we've learned a lot, and we're going to continue to learn a lot. But, you know, it's we just have decided to not operate from that level of fear or that level of, you know, apprehension just because they're doing a bad thing.
Yes. Why do you think scamming is skyrocketing, or at least, you know, increasing? Is it that law enforcement is not doing enough, or just people's morality is going down? What would you say?
I would say technology, because we don't stay on the same level, right? We have iPhone 1, and now we have iPhone 17 with new things, with AI and deepfake and this, and technology becoming so strong, getting involved in our lives. We have Zoom meetings, we have job applications, people working right now from home and applying for job online. We shop online, everything happening online. So that's why, instead of like a thug will come to you and, you know, beat the crap out of you and get your cash that you have in a pocket, it's exactly the same, but inside of your computer.
So technology is definitely helping, but it's still the people making the decision to do the wrong thing. So
yeah, I think the barrier of entry being easier now is a big part of it. It might bring out ones that might not necessarily have done it before if it took more work or took more risk, but it's so easy to be untraceable now that it might invite new opportunity, quote unquote, mm-hmm. for ones that want to do wrong to others. It's easy. It's also, scammers thrive when there's any kind of worldly or political upset. And there's been a lot of that in the last 10, 20 years, most recently specifically. So, you know, people are going to flourish with whatever they want to do, whether it's good or bad. And anytime that there's panic or widespread fear or widespread uncertainty, causes people to do some pretty crazy things. And so it's unfortunate, but it's the world we live in.
Probably the most crucial and useful part of this interview is how can you protect yourself against scams? What are the actual things you can do? Let's see what they have to say. Please tell us again some of the red flags that, you know, people should be aware of. Also, you know, people feel hopeless. They feel like, again, elderly people, they get phone calls. We had it in the office here. Someone was on the phone and they asked me for my credit card because someone was telling them that there's something that needs my credit card for otherwise something is going to explode or something. So that happens, you know, often. What is your message to those people that feel hopeless or feel that, you know, it's hard to detect these things or you're just beyond them because technology is so advanced?
I think Ashton already said that if somebody is pressuring you to do something, to make a rational decision on the spot, you need to pay taxes right now, you need to go to Target right now, you need to get the gift card, scratch it, give me the numbers and your taxes are gonna get paid. Always calm down, take a break, hang up the phone and talk. Talk to people who live, roommates, friends, families, and don't make rational decisions. And also, if you...
Irrational. We'd like to make rational
right.
decisions.
Right, irrational decisions. And when you get your emails and Venmo, PayPal, Amazon told you that you got overcharged, overshopped, there is always a number on the bottom. Don't call the number. Don't click on links that you don't know. Always do your own research. If something happened, like with your credit card, take the credit card, flip it over, and call the number. You call the number. You go on official Amazon.com website and talk to representative. Just don't trust anybody.
Anything that's coming into your bubble, yeah. You know, without you asking for it,
yes.
You need to vet. You need to vet it before you just assume that it's a real thing. Yeah. You know, whether they're calling you or texting you, reaching out to you, walking up to you on the street, asking you to do this, that, just protect your bubble. And vet it before you do anything or give them anything or even talk to them. It's okay to take a minute and ask a question, talk to a loved one, whatever it might be. Just don't let anyone influence you or make you feel like you need to act just because they came into your bubble and said that you need to act, you know?
That reminds me of a rule I used to have. I used to travel a lot when I was out of college to many different countries, some not very safe countries. And I always had the rule, if someone comes to me to give me a ride, I would say no. I would be the one looking for a taxi or a ride myself and ask them, hey, can I get a ride from you? And always mm-hmm. deny the one that wants to give me a ride.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. It's been amazing. The work you're doing is amazing. It actually helps people in a real, real way. Any final thoughts? Anything that you want to share with our audience?
Be diligent, raise awareness, keep people informed, especially your elders. And subscribe to Trilogy Media and watch Scammed Getting Even on Fox Nation. It's going to be a wild ride.
Speaking of that, how can one watch you? What are the ways to watch you on Fox Nation?
Well, the Fox Nation has the brand new show, Scammed, Getting Even. So Fox Nation's where the only place you're going to see that right now. It'll be available internationally at a future date. But yeah, Fox Nation, it's viewable there. You'll see promos for it if you're in the States, all over the place. As for Trilogy, we're mainly based on YouTube. We put all of our videos there. We also have our own platform called Trilogy Plus, where we can post a little more risky stuff, stuff that YouTube doesn't allow, maybe. So
unblurred, uncensored, extended versions.
So yes, that's where you'll find the hub of all of our stuff. And then, you know, all the normal socials, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, at Trilogy Media, Inc. We post there almost every day. So
thanks again for your amazing work. Best of luck to you, and hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
How much in total did he get from you?
$53,000.
I tried to tell her this isn't real.
Over $500,000.
That's a life-ruining amount of money.
Yeah.
Scams that we come across tear people apart.
Who knows my home address, my phone number?
What we do is get into direct communication with a scammer.
Whoa!
Baiting scammers into a trap.
Click the link.
We'll unearth an entire network of deception.
And confront those responsible.
We're looking for Jeffrey.
Are you Jeffrey? This scammer clicked it 5 times.
I'm waiting, hurry up.
This is where she's supposed to wire 20,000.
Oh wow, we might need to go to Czech Republic.
I'm coming too.
Can we go? Right. You need to stop at the freaking cologne store?
Yeah.
Are you ready to see who you've been talking to?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Get on your face!
What's better than a little slice of revenge?
Scammed, Getting Even. Streaming October 22nd on Fox Nation. Sign up at foxnation.com.
Thank you for watching another episode of Bay Area Innovators. If you enjoyed this episode and you know someone who should be on our show, please send us an email at sfbay@epochtimes.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you, and see you next week.